Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, 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 and a very warm welcome in to RNIB Tech Talk from Connect Radio, first heard right here on the station each Tuesday lunchtime at 1 p.m. or grab that podcast, just ask your smart device for the latest episode of RNIB Tech Talk. Of course, Tech Talk, it's our chance as blind or partially sighted people to get together each week and explore the world of technology. We always love to hear from you. It's the usual email address if you have a question or comment, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, we'll be learning more about the new accessible range of Zoom digital audio recorders. Toby Davey will be finding out about an inclusive photography exhibition with Canon. And we'll be reading your responses to an RNIB Instagram post that asked for your best tech hacks. So stick around, there's lots to come this time on Tech Talk. Joining me as ever are our co-hosts, Hubert Pavalkovich, Callum Stoneman. Chaps, a very warm welcome in to you. Interested to know what's grabbing your attention in the world of technology this week. Hubert.
A long-awaited little feature. It's nothing major, but I'm glad to see that ChatGPT finally has audio voice responses available. So you can actually have your messages from ChatGPT read aloud if you like, which I find quite a nice little addition, which, you know, I quite enjoy, especially with using all the other kind of voice assistants. It's nice to get voice responses back. Makes it feel a little bit natural.
Is that new? I'm sure there's been a voice mode in the app for a little bit.
Well, the ability to get the messages read aloud that ChatGPT says back to you apparently is new from what I've seen on in one of the recent tech newsletters.
I see. So the mode I've been using, right, because you can put it in a kind of a voice mode. If you've got the app on your phone, you can put it in a voice mode and you can have a conversation with it. And it is quite scary. You know, it says like,
it is.
And well, yeah, no, the thing you might want to do, and you know, it is like a little bit disturbing, not gonna lie.
Yeah, the addition to this feature is apparently, the article I've read didn't give me too much detail, but it says you can tap on a message to be individual messages to be read aloud, I believe is the exact way it works. I've not tried it yet myself, but I will certainly give a go. It is available to free users which use ChatGPT 3.5 and naturally paid subscription users as well on iOS and Android.
There we are. Right. Okay. I'm sure that'll be useful for somebody somewhere, or you could, of course, just read it with your screen reader if you are a screen reader user. Speaking of which, Callum Stoneman, he's a screen reader user. What you got, Callum?
Well, it's screen readers that are grabbing my attention, actually. Jaws have... do you remember a few months ago, was it? They did that Next Big Thing competition where you could submit your feature ideas, and the winner of that competition was somebody who suggested AI generated image descriptions could be added, and that's now available. So if you've got the latest version of Jaws 2024, there's a new section, well, I think it's new, a new section in Jaws generally called the Early Adopters Program, and if you go in there you can check Picture Smart with AI. And then, so they've bundled this into the Picture Smart feature. And yeah, instead of using just the general Picture Smart, which I'm not sure how that works or what that uses, but generally on there, you know, the descriptions have been pretty basic. But yeah, now Picture Smart uses AI. And from, I've not had a chance to play with this yet, but from the demos that I've heard, it's pretty impressive. Very sort of Be My Eyes-ish. But yeah, it's nice to see it in Jaws.
Alrighty, Jaws users, let us know. Have you tried it? Would you like to try it? We would love to hear from you. Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavalkovich, thank you very much. Stick around, it's another Tech Talk. If you were tuned in to Tech Talk last week, you'll have heard our first look at the Zoom Essential Series H1, where I took you through a little bit of a demonstration of getting started with the device. Now, of course, there are more extensive and more detailed reviews out there, not just of the Zoom H1 Essential, but also the H4 Essential and the H6 Essential. But I thought it'd be a great idea to catch up with Zoom themselves and find out a little bit more about what brought us to this point and perhaps the direction of travel from here. So we are joined by Director of Products and Support North America. It is Samuel Green from Zoom. Welcome in to RNIB Connect Radio, Samuel. Fantastic to have your company. Just for listeners who are perhaps not steeped in this, just talk us through what is the Zoom Essential Series?
Well, thank you very much for having me. Very excited to be here talking with you, especially about this Essential Series. So Zoom has been making handheld audio recorders for a while now, used by musicians and podcasters and audio for video people, filmmakers of all kinds. And some of the most popular products in that line, the H1N, the H4N Pro, and the H6, the previous versions of these three recorders, were out for a long time and served people very well, but we've replaced all three of them simultaneously with our new Essential Series, the H1 Essential, H4 Essential, and H6 Essential. And, various updates, one of the biggest ones being 32-bit float recording, and maybe we'll get into more about that. But the big feature that we're going to be talking about, I think, is the accessibility feature built into these. So all three of these recorders have a voice guidance system for blind and visually impaired creators to be able to navigate through and operate these units. And we're so excited to have that, and I'm excited to be here talking to you about it.
And it's not just the voice. You've got some extra tones in there as well. There are some audio cues, ear cons, I guess we would call them, that let you know when the device is switched on, when things have changed, when you push the button, when you got that nice little double beep, for example, at the end of the recording. So you've really taken a thoughtful approach to accessibility with this new Essential range.
Absolutely. And that was, kind of what we were trying to do is make it from the base level accessible. And that starts with when you purchase one of the products, you put the batteries in it for the first time, you need to turn it on. The first thing that pops up with a voice call out is if you'd like to turn the accessibility system on. So from step one of opening the product and putting the batteries in, you have that accessibility. And you listed a bunch of, great ways that shows itself. Another one is, the headphone volume control. You have two different tones for up and down, and obviously you also hear the volume go up and down of those beeps. We've tried to pack everything in, starting from step one of using the recorder.
You mentioned blind people briefly there, and I'm a realist. I recognize that we represent quite a niche demographic. Was it just blind people you had in mind when you were developing those features, or was it your hope that sighted producers would also find the voice output helpful?
That is an interesting question. I think our initial thoughts were only for blind users. And what we found through the development process and the engineering teams using these recorders was some of them liked having it on and they didn't want to turn it off. I think we've learned that there's more to the story of who might find these accessibility features very useful, and that's exciting to us.
And just give us a sense of the scope of this initiative. We've got three products today that speak out of the box. When you arrived at the decision to do that, how committed is Zoom overall? Are we likely to see some of this accessibility work reaching some other products down the line?
So this journey has been a few years, and it started with us trying to make an iPhone app that was fully accessible, which accompanied one of our products, the R20. And we ended up being very limited in the feature set that we were able to put into the app that would be fully accessible. So and we've also seen users use some of our other apps, which we never, specifically programmed to be accessible. A lot of the function worked out of the box with the iOS screen reader and gestures and such, which was great. But after everything, we realized we've got to put this actually in the hardware, and that's when it can start being really useful to everybody all the time. And so, you know, it was a big hurdle to get them into these three products. It ended up being about 25% of total software development time for these units was that system. And we learned a lot that we didn't know before. And we hope to maybe include in some other products. We have nothing currently in the plans that we could discuss. We certainly can't add it to older products, and that is something to note. There is some additional hardware that's involved in the system. So you won't see it in previous products, but it is possible to see it in some future Zoom product.
So how aware were you of the needs of blind content creators during this process? Did you work with blindness organizations or blind podcasters, for example, to make sure that, you know, what was going to go out the door was going to absolutely meet the need?
We've been lobbied for this for a few years, you know, as I'm sure many other companies have, and we've thought about it, and we decided here to finally implement it. We did know that we were going to need some, you know, advice, and our engineering team did reach out to a couple of blind individuals to help with the initial development of it. No specific organizations or anything like that. And now we've been shipping, the H1's been shipping for a couple weeks in the United States. The other two recorders are now out into the market. And we've put a lot of effort post-launch now, now that we have these in the hands of several users, specifically blind users, that can provide feedback. And we've been gathering that up, and we've kind of compiled a list of, you know, the things that people might want to change. And things, you know, I'll give you one example. There is no quick way to turn the accessibility system on and off in the current firmware. Obviously, when you first get it, you could turn it on. But if you were to go into the menu and turn it off, it's, you know, some like 13 button clicks to get back to turn it on. So we're planning on adding a shortcut to be able to do that. And that's just one small thing of you know, several others that we've heard from users that would be helpful. Things that aren't completely accessible, such as, you know, the arming buttons. You do get beeps, but it's the same tone, so you don't know if it's armed or not. So post-launch is a continuation for us of trying to see, you know, what are the things we could do to make it even better.
Right, so you're engaging quite a bit now with the community. I know there are various groups. We've Sound Without Sight in the UK, for example, that aims to support audio producers, and I'm sure you will be receiving feedback in spades. Well, I mean, one of the comments I've, you know, in preparing for this, some people are asking about documentation, for example. Can you speak to that?
Sure. So that is one area that is not very accessible. If you go to our website, we do have a quick tour and a user manual for each of these units. There are quite a few diagrams. There are little icon pictures in the middle of sentences. Not documents a screen reader can conquer easily. So we're investigating what we could do about a full manual. In the meantime, we are planning on releasing some button layout documents to start out as kind of a step one to try to get some documentation that's a little more helpful to blind users. So that is the first thing you'll see from us. But you know, we have been made aware of the want for some additional documentation, so we are considering that.
Okay. Well, as soon as that's available, let us know, and we'll be sure to tell everybody over here. The H Essential series, so this is your kind of handy recorder range, the sort of consumer kind of grade device, I guess. And I think you might have already mentioned these three products replace their predecessors. So the H1E, the H4E, and the H6E, they replace the N series, if I got that right.
Correct, absolutely.
Okay. But the others in that range, I think there's an H2 and an H5, they're pretty much as you were.
Correct, yeah. We have the H2N, we have the H5, and also the H8. And those recorders are still around, still current. You know, if those are the right for you. But the upgrades on these new units are, you know, really worth considering. And the big one, and I'll jump into it, is 32-bit float recording, which is an incredible feature for all users, because it records in a much bigger dynamic range. And so in the end, what ends up happening is we can make it so that you can plug in a microphone into one of these recorders and you can't clip, like it can't get too loud. At the same time, low volumes are recorded at the same quality that high volumes are. Therefore, you can always raise the volume in post-production, which anybody that's worked heavily in 24-bit, you know, if you have a very low signal and you try to raise it up, you end up with a bunch of noise. So put everything together, we've actually been able to eliminate the gain knobs off of these recorders. So the entire recording process is easier, which is great for every user, but is also, you know, an increase in accessibility for the products. You put in your batteries, you put in the SD card, you plug in your inputs, and you hit record, and you know you're going to have audio that you're going to be able to use in post-production, which is a great comfort and simplifying the use of the product in general. And that's kind of, you know, this is where the name Essential comes in, because, you know, we have a belief that audio itself is essential. You know, and audio only happens once. You could play a guitar riff, you're never going to play it exactly the same way again. And so, you know, we've tried for years, you know, since the advent of the, you know, the vinyl record and then the tape machine, to capture audio perfectly and whenever we want to without mistakes. And 32-bit float gets us a lot closer to that goal.
Right. And obviously that wasn't designed specifically for blind people, but certainly we benefit probably disproportionately because we don't have to worry about setting levels and gains and things like that during the recording process. We can fix everything later, hopefully. There are obviously physical limitations with that, right? I mean, if you scream right into the capsule, then you're going to create some distortion, and that's just a physical function of the material. That's not a gain issue, is it?
Correct. Yeah. And so each of the recorders has a different maximum on the built-in microphones. The H1 Essential is 120 dB, 130 dB for the H4 Essential, and 135 dB for the H6 Essential. So especially the 4 and the 6, you know, you can get very, very high volumes going in there. But the microphones you plug into the XLR inputs, again, you know, every microphone has an SPL limit where, you know, the physical diaphragm will cause distortion. But the actual voltage captured by that microphone going into the recorder, that's what we can be confident that we're going to be able to record at perfect quality.
You touched on firmware updates. One of the features you're hoping to add is the ability to toggle the accessibility features on and off. And that's fantastic to hear that that's coming, and that's feedback from the community. So it's always worth you know, customers feeding back, because you know, if enough people have got a request, then it's going to get your attention. What's the best way, do you think, Samuel, for folks to do that? I know there's been some comments about, you know, the access to the file list, for example. Where would you report something like that?
So I've given my email out in some other interviews, and I'll give it here, which is sgreene, G-R-E-E-N-E, at zoom-na.com. And I'm kind of the one gathering all the feedback. And yes, anybody that has some, we want to hear. And, you know, it goes beyond the specific community, because, you know, customer feedback is, you know, invaluable. You know, there's nothing better than it. You know, you're trying to make a product for customers, you listen to the customer. So yes, we invite any feedback. It is incredibly helpful to us to try to make things even better.
Well, and I thank you for doing that. That's certainly how we managed to connect and get you on here on RNIB Connect Radio. Blind and partially sighted listeners who are curious, maybe not quite ready to take the plunge yet, but what's the best place? Is there an accessibility page, or is there somewhere where those key maps are going to be posted? How can listeners keep across the accessibility progress that you're making?
So as far as firmware updates and things like that, each one of the product pages has a support and downloads link, and that brings you to where all the documentation is. So that's where we'll load all that up. But also we'll push out that info on some other channels, maybe some social channels, to try to keep everybody in tune. And then also to people like yourself and in some of the other interviews we've done, we'll make sure we send those documents directly so that the word can spread even outside of our website as far as it can go.
Fantastic. Well, I really appreciate your time, Samuel. I know you're a busy chap. I think it's important to emphasize as well, I had a bunch of requests, and can you ask him about this, and can you ask him about that, and can I put my talking books on here, and all this kind of stuff, right? And you're going to get plenty of that. These are digital recorders, right? This is the whole point of these products, is to go out there and to record music, to record podcasts, to record interviews, to create content. They're not intended as book players or music players.
That is correct. Yeah, right. You'll find they're very limited, you know, in the, you know, no ability to load in files and things like that. So think of them as digital recorders. You know, you've got some sound that you're looking to capture, and that's what these are going to do best.
And they do it very well indeed. And I was lucky enough to take one over to Belfast. We had a technology event here a couple of weeks ago, and it held up very well indeed. Are you able to comment on battery life?
As far as like what the specs are?
Yeah, I guess your mileage is going to vary, right, depending on the quality. Because this is the great thing about these recorders as well, is that the batteries are user replaceable. You can put in rechargeables in there or whatever you want, right?
So battery life on these recorders, you have alkaline batteries, nickel metal hydride, and lithium batteries. Lithium will get you the best battery life, alkaline the least, and nickel metal hydride rechargeables in the middle. With alkaline batteries, you're looking at about 10 hours on each of these, and it's two AAAs for the H1 Essential, two AAs for the H4 Essential, and four AAs on the H6 Essential for that battery life. Always consider things like phantom power, especially will reduce your battery life. So an alternate option you have is you have a USB-C port on all three of these, and that has many functions. You could do an audio interface, you know, with your phone or a computer, but you could also power through those. So you can even use like a USB battery bank to power through the USB port. So if you're looking for a really extended battery life, USB batteries are great.
Okay, and we've talked about some of the pro or semi-pro use cases. One of the things I think the H1 Essential lends itself well to is also for students, right? Just for maybe making a recording in class, if you wanted to take notes from that later on, you know, recording ideas, if you were perhaps a writer, you know, if you're out on a walk and then suddenly inspiration strikes. It's got so many different use cases just because of that portability. You can just have it in your pocket.
Absolutely. So small, so easy to have with you all the time. And it's got some nice features for those kind of applications. You've got a stereo mono button on there, so you could switch the two mics on top to a mono if you're just, you know, looking for some cleaner dialogue pickup. And you also have like a playback speed adjustment for transcription, which can be very helpful as well for people in those sort of applications.
And do you anticipate accessories, you know, cases, covers, pop shields, is that aftermarket, or is that something that Zoom will probably do?
So we will have an accessory pack for each one of these recorders that has a Harry windscreen, an AC adapter with a USB cord, and a case, a protective case for each. And I'll have exact details on when those will be ready. In the meantime, we do have the WSU-1 Harry windscreen that will fit the H4 and the H6. It's a little large for the H1, although it will go on there. And then we have some kind of universal cases, the SU-20, the SU-40, that are also available if somebody's looking for something quicker.
Okay. Well, I certainly picked up one of those windshield or pop shields because the mics feel pretty open to me, you know, and that's you get the great interview and then, you know, there's breath all over it. So
absolutely, yeah. Anybody doing dialogue pickup with the microphones, they're you know, condenser microphones, you know, just like any other one, you really do want to get some sort of pop filter, especially if it's going to be fairly close to somebody speaking. So the Harry windscreen does great for that.
All right, Samuel, I'm gonna let you go. Do you want to just give us those contact details one more time?
Absolutely. So my name is Samuel Green. Email is sgreen@zoom-na.com.
Samuel Green, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
In this photograph, a magnificent northern white rhinoceros dominates the scene. Standing at an angle in the center of the photograph, his colossal head, with a small bump in place of a horn, is tilted low and to the left. Its front legs are planted in the parched grass of the Kenyan savanna. To its right, a man wearing military fatigues is crouched on his haunches. The man cradles the matte black barrel of an assault rifle in his left hand. With his right, he scratches the rhino's underbelly between its forelegs. Two other men in uniform stand, one to the left in front of the rhino's head, the other to the right, each holding rifles of their own and looking out into the distance. Above them, the sky is blue and clear, with wisps of white clouds. The scene is of a dappled savanna with golden hues casting a warm and ethereal glow. The rhino is a symbol of primeval grace and resilience, its massive form encrusted with armor-like skin. It emanates an aura of unyielding dignity. Its eyes are pools of profound darkness within its leathery visage, reflecting the relentless march of time.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and that was part of the immersive descriptive audio for Rhino Wars by Brent Sturton, one of the photographs that features in the truly accessible photography exhibition World Unseen, created for all by Canon Europe in partnership with the RNIB, which will be on at Somerset House in central London from the 5th to the 7th of April 2024. The exhibition invites visitors, blind, partially sighted and sighted, to experience photography in a new, accessible and immersive way. Alex Fergood, Canon EMEA, Digital Operations Director, and Dave Williams, Inclusive Design Ambassador here at the RNIB, join me now to tell me more about World Unseen and the partnership between Canon and the RNIB. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, Alex and Dave.
Thank you, Toby. Nice to be here.
Good to be here.
Alex, would you give me a bit of background to how not only the exhibition World Unseen came about, but also some of the other ways Canon has been making photography accessible to blind and partially sighted people?
Yeah, of course, Toby. So we've been printing with something called elevated print for many years now, and we quickly realised that it could be beneficial for those with sight loss. And one project has turned into another, and over the years, we've printed braille signage for towns, braille and elevation packaging for products, and replicas of classic art for museums and galleries around the world. And the art is a really interesting one because we can make it look near identical to the original painting. So we can have things like the raised elevation of a brush stroke or even cracked varnish. It's quite incredible. But this is the first time that we've brought our prints together in such an immersive experience with soundscapes and audio descriptions with World Unseen. And World Unseen really comes from a belief at Canon that images can transform our world. And we also believe that everyone should be able to experience those images and feel that change. And that's why we're doing World Unseen.
And the exhibition features a series of photographs by world-renowned photographers with, as you say, elevated prints, audio descriptions, soundscapes and braille for a tactile experience, helping everyone to connect with some of the powerful images that are featured in the exhibition. Alex, how did you choose the photographers, their images, and what would you like to gain from the exhibition and making it as accessible as possible?
Yeah, well, we've chosen photography that we think changes the way that people think, feel and behave, or shows people and places going through changes themselves. And so the first thing we asked ourselves when choosing the photography was, how does it inspire change? And we focused on the story behind the image as well, making sure that it was as impactful as the image itself. And the photographers themselves, they're Canon ambassador photographers or photographers using Canon equipment from around the world, covering topics that we think about a lot, topics like people, the planet, and what's possible with technology.
Dave, this sounds like an amazing exhibition. And as I used to be a photographer myself, I know many blind and partially sighted people do take photography up and even sometimes make a career of it too. How do you see this partnership between Canon and the R&IB through the exhibition World Unseen change people's perception around not only visually impaired people taking up photography, but also accessible art for everyone?
Well, I think you're right, Toby. There is this misconception sometimes, I think, that blind or partially sighted people are perhaps less interested in the visual world. And actually, we know that's not true. We as blind people are very interested in how things look, the colour, the depth, the distance, the texture. And a lot of that information, it's possible to get that now using the technology that Canon have developed, but also adding in audio descriptions and other elements to the experience. I think where we agree with Canon is that actually images can change things. They can change perceptions, they can change preconceptions and dispel some of the myths that perhaps exist when it comes to blindness and photography.
Alex, would you sort of, I suppose, go through how World Unseen has been made accessible to me and other blind and partially sighted people and why you also wanted to include the images being seen through some of the common eye conditions?
Yeah, certainly, Toby. So for blind and partially sighted people, we're including braille and audio descriptions of photographs direct from the photographer. And these are not just what you would see, but they're also in-depth stories behind the photograph, supported by immersive soundscapes that make you feel like you're there. And one thing we're really proud of is the elevated print versions of the photographs that we've spoken about. So you can really feel the outline and textures of the image in lifelike detail. And they're printed on Canon Arizona flatbed printers using some incredibly clever software that creates what I guess you might call like a 2.5D print made by layering ink. And the ink is less than the width of a human hair, layered on top of each other, then cured so it hardens, and it creates a texture and elevations up to a few millimetres high. And then for sighted people, we're also showing photographs through the lenses of different kinds of eye conditions. And this is to change the way that we understand the visual impairment experience, that it's diverse and that it affects people in many different ways.
Dave, this is not just a great exhibition having, you know, sort of the accessibility, but it's also a great opportunity to provide awareness of how some of those common eye conditions generally do affect people's vision.
Absolutely. So you're right. I mean, it goes both ways, right? So we want blind and partially sighted people to come along and experience the ways in which these images have been made accessible. But also a lot of RNIB's work is about reaching out beyond the blind community to sighted people and saying, actually, come and learn more about what the experience of sight loss can look like. Obviously, when you see an image through, you know, the filter or a lens of, you know, what it might be like to have glaucoma or macular degeneration, doesn't tell you what it's like to be that person. Of course it doesn't, but it just starts the conversation and helps to build some awareness.
Alex, if people can't make it to Somerset House, there's also the Canon View website, which will also be displaying the photographs featured in World Unseen, along with the immersive descriptive audio for everyone to explore these powerful images and the stories that they tell. But this will also include reactions to the photographs from a few well-known blind and partially sighted people too.
Yeah, that's right, Toby. Every image featured in the exhibition is going to have its own page on our View website. And with the image, we'll have a short article providing the story behind the images and also an audio description of the image read by the photographers themselves. Then we've brought four of the images to life through a video which features the photographer, a fantastic photograph, and a blind or partially sighted person that has a connection with the subject matter featured in the photograph. So for Brent Sturton, who you heard at the beginning of our conversation, we paired him with Lawrence Gunther, who's a blind conservationist, and they're talking about Brent's picture, which showcases care for one of the last remaining northern white rhinos. We've tried to make the experience as accessible as possible through working with experts such as yourselves at RNIB, and also testing the experience with blind and visually impaired users of our website too.
Well, World Unseen will be at Somerset House, Central London, from the 5th to the 7th of April 2024, and also on the Canon View website, which is canon.co.uk/view. And thank you very much indeed, Alex Fergood, Canon EMEA Digital Operations Director, and Dave Williams, our Inclusive Design Ambassador, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me and listeners about a great exhibition, which is World Unseen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Making technology accessible. Tech Talk.
Now, if you're on Instagram, you might have noticed that RNIB recently asked you for your best accessibility hack. What's your sort of top tip? And we were inundated with comments, and we thought it might be useful to just share some of those with you on the show. Of course, the most popular one is the venerable Be My Eyes app, the AI feature particularly helpful for describing images on social media for other blind and partially sighted people. The Seeing AI app was also popular with you, but a little reminder, don't forget to befriend and get to know some of those people in shops and other places that offer you assistance. Get to know people by their name, building those relationships, so important. And the other tip we spotted was to add brightly coloured tape onto the edges of buttons, dials, or even on stairs to make them more visible for people with low vision. So we've got some more as well, chaps, haven't we?
Yeah, there's some brilliant tips on here. There's if you can, go and have a look at the comments, because there's some fantastic suggestions. Someone else here says, I use my phone to listen to audiobooks when I'm moving around the house, just making books so much more accessible than using a Kindle or even a cassette player. Remember then when the audiobooks used to be sent out on big cassettes? Someone else says, when I'm in a shop, the NaviLens app, we spoke about this one before, NaviLens can provide an audio description of what's around, how far away I am from a product, and if it's to the left or right of me on the shelf. And they just end with, they just wish it was available for more products here in the UK. Yeah, so great suggestion there. And then last one from me for now. Someone else says, I use my phone's camera to take a picture of my makeup so that I can zoom in and check that eyeliner or mascara isn't all over my eyelids. And just to be clear, that is a comment. That's not me talking personally.
Hubert, how's your mascara?
Hey, looking lovely, looking lovely. Oh, just need to correct that. Anyway, looking good. Some tips here that I also have. Going out to eat, always a tricky task at times, but a few tips on that one. Looking at the restaurant menu before you go, so you have a good idea, or even, you know, specific choices as to what you want to order, always useful, makes the task a bit easier. And also finding out the best way to get to the restaurant, either via public transport or, you know, walking directions, depending what you feel comfortable with, always quite handy. Another tip here, using dark mode and night mode together on the smartphone, which can be a bit less demanding for the eyes, which is quite intriguing. And another tip here, not tech related, mobile phone related, but quite simple, and I quite like it. When it comes to pouring drinks, and if you just don't want to use that liquid level indicator because you can't find it because you've lost it once again, just put the cups on the tray and pour water in them, and then if anything goes over, it's in the tray. Mind you, I do not suggest doing that with hot drinks. Please use your liquid level indicator for that. We do not want any accidents relating to hot drinks pouring.
Yeah, to be honest, if it's my own drink, I've perfected the art of using my finger, to be honest.
Yes, so have I.
I think a lot of... And that's the elephant in the room, isn't it, for a lot of blind people. Some of those more techie than others, and some of them slightly lower tech than others. Any surprises there, do you think, chaps?
I do quite like that last suggestion, to be fair. Putting it in a, you know, putting your cup or your glass into a tray, that is a good suggestion. That's how I started off when, because I used to be really self-conscious about using the liquid level indicator, because I know you can get the vibrating ones, but the one I had was the, you know, the beeps. And sometimes, like, you've been making a drink, and it just, you know, especially if it was like late at night or something and I'm just getting a quick drink, I feel like I'm waking the whole house up with that thing beeping away. So yeah, it's low tech, but it's a good suggestion, that.
Yeah, I mean, I know they're quite popular, right? Lots of people get the liquid level, but I honestly, in all the blind people I know, I don't know anybody who uses one on a regular basis. I sort of view it as a kind of a rehab thing, you know, when you're kind of adjusting to your eyesight changing, you know, and you just need that bit of confidence in the early days. But most blind people I know, when they're making a cup of tea, probably not using a liquid level. That, you know, the tray idea is a good tip. My wife would say use one of these one cup machines. You know, I think Tefal and some of the other manufacturers can dispense a cup's worth of hot water, or just put the right amount of water in the kettle to start with, right? So if you've got a big mug, you know, fill up the mug, then put that water into the kettle, then you've got the right amount of water in the kettle, and then you're not going to overflow it by too much when you come to pour it after it's boiled.
Yeah, that's a good one as well, actually. Never thought of that.
All good tips. I've got the one-cup dispenser, which is quite decent as well. But yeah, I use the liquid level indicator sometimes for hot drinks, but like you said, you kind of find the way of doing it without getting third-degree burns on your fingers. So it's kind of as to what works for individual people, really.
I'll tell you what, it's nice to see NaviLens mentioned on there. We've spoke about it quite a bit on the show. I think we've had them on, if I remember correctly, but I haven't heard many reviews of it actually being used, you know, in the wild, if you like. So it's nice to see someone's getting benefit from that. And yeah, I agree. I wish that was available on more products.
Mm. I mean, the thing I like about NaviLens, right, is it's a great tool in the sort of war against small print, right? So you know that if there is a NaviLens code on an item, then scanning it is going to take you to accessible information, right? That's the great thing about it. And usually the scanning process is really straightforward as well. You don't usually have to wave your phone around too much to find the code, right? And also, of course, multiple codes can be recognized at the same time. But yeah, just knowing it's there in the first place is the issue for me as a blind person.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let us know if you've got any hacks, accessibility hacks, whether they're high tech, low tech. We'd love to learn about them. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. Callum, Hubert, and everybody on Instagram, thanks a lot. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. And as we move into spring, you might be thinking about a spot of spring cleaning, getting sorted out, organised, tidying up, all that stuff around the house. And the RNIB Products for Life team have some products that might be helpful in that endeavour. And joining us to learn more, it's Louise Kenny. Welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio, Louise. You've got loads of stuff that can help with getting tidied up. I know many of us are clearing out, you know, just getting rid of some of the cruft and trying to get organised. And you've got some solutions for labelling, I believe.
Yes, so with Stacey Solomon returned back in February with Sort Your Life Out programme on BBC One. And we kind of thought this is a great idea for spring cleaning. What can we do around our own homes, especially some people with sight loss? What can we do to improve things around our own home? So some of the things that, you know, we might look at would be the Pen Friend. So for anyone who's not familiar with the Pen Friend, it's an audio device labeller. And there's so many functions with the Pen Friend that you can use it for. So it could be labelling your tinned food with the magnet labels. It could be if you're batch cooking, putting your food into a Tupperware container and putting a little label on it to say the date and the contents that you've put into the freezer. Or you could be very creative. I done this one, so I would have read the Gruffalo story to my son when he was small. So I would have read each page, but then I'd have read each page with the pen onto the Pen Friend label, and I put the label in the top left hand corner of the page so that my husband, who's totally blind, he would be able to come back and do story time with the Pen Friend, and it'd be my voice reading the story back to our son. So you can be creative with the Pen Friend.
Mm. So let's just talk about what it feels like. So it's like a pen, a biro, like a big sort of chunky biro. It's got a couple of buttons on there for recording your audio label, and it takes regular batteries. Is it AAA batteries? I think it takes.
AAA batteries. Yeah. So the device is black, and there's three high-vis yellow buttons. on the top. So it's very straightforward to use. And whenever you actually receive the PenFriend itself, the audio instructions are on the box. So there's like three tactile circles, and you point the PenFriend to the circle and it gives you the instructions. So you can, you do have the option of going online to get the instructions, or but the simpler way is just to use the box for the instructions itself.
Okay, so you just touch your label with the end of your PenFriend and the recording that you've made will be played back. And of course, as you say, you could use that for all sorts of different things. Some people using it for seeds, and you know, people are in the garden, gardening, yes, supplies, crafts. I was speaking to one lady who uses PenFriend for labeling her various makeups. Some people put the labels onto clothing, so you get a box of labels with it, don't you?
You get all the labels. You can get laundry labels as well, so for those your favorite clothing garments, you can make sure you have the right one with the label. And we've also now got the reusable can and bottle labels as well. So that's really handy for maybe the cleaning products, you know, because a lot of the bottles might feel similar. So you can reuse one of those as well.
Okay, so great way for getting organized for labeling items around the home, but identifying items in the first place. I mean, you mentioned laundry there. Something that might be useful for sorting out your wardrobe is your color detector.
Yes, so we do. We've got two color detectors. We've got the basic color detector, which will identify 12 colors. And then we've got the Colorino, which will do up to 150 colors, but it will give you more descriptive. So it might be intense red or dark blue, so it'll give you the shade as well. But on top of that, the Colorino will also act as a light detector. For example, your landing light, you might have a switch for it at the bottom of the stairs and one at the top of the stairs. And if people have gone out of the house, you can use your Colorino to check if whoever's gone out has left the lights on or off.
Okay. And these are, again, handheld, battery-powered devices. Yeah. So you don't need to muck about with apps on your phones.
Very straightforward to use. There's one button for the detecting the colour and then a separate one for the lights. And whenever you're detecting that the light is switched on, it makes a very, very high-pitched tone. And whenever there's no lights on, it's a very flat tone.
Okay. And of course, you've got the venerable Braille labeler there as well for making some notes if you need to label something in Braille. Good low-tech solution, that one.
Yeah, that's a very straightforward. So there's a little dial that you can turn around to navigate to the Braille letter and then press, and it will put the Braille letter onto a label for you.
And you know, the thing I love about that device is you've got the print on there as well. So a sighted person can make Braille labels, not just for items around the home, not just for getting organized, but maybe also for putting into greetings cards or books, or, you know, small amounts of Braille. If you just need to write a few words, if you're a sighted person, you can do that for the Braille reader in your life.
Yeah, it's very straightforward. And we also have our bumper stops. You may previously know them as bump-ons, but we are now bumper stops. I would say the most popular ones would be the small bright orange ones, just because that high contrast colour, but you can also get the small clear ones as well, or the large ones, and they're really good to put on in your home, for example, on your washing machine, your favourite settings that you would have. On your cooker, but also for labeling if you're wanting to separate your kitchen and bathroom bottles, you might have the large clear bumper stop on the top of your bathroom spray and then a small one on the kitchen spray, just so you can identify between the cleaning bottles as well.
Right. If you've got a manual dial on the front of your oven or air fryer or microwave, I guess you could put a bumper stop on in a particular position. If there's a temperature or time that you use most frequently, that can be super helpful. Tell us about the day glow tape. How does that work?
So the day glow tape, it's fantastic. So when you go into a room, and I've seen them quite often in bathrooms, you know, the heated tile rails. So there's literally just a strip of day glow tape around the corners. It just makes it more visible. So you're not going to get a nasty bruise from walking into it or a burn. On the corners of tables, again, just to show that they're makes them more visible that they're there, especially coffee tables, glass tables, just to make them more visible.
And is it just furniture, or, I mean, would you use this on, I don't know, doors or floors, or if you wanted to highlight an edge or something?
Do you want to know something? It is for indoor use only. Now, I attended a residential in Donegal, and they had really dark mahogany stairs, and it was something inside that all of us really struggled with. And so the next day that I went back, I took the day glow tape with me, and I put it on the bottom tread of the stairs, and then I put it on the top tread, just as an indicator for us going up and down, that where the stairs started and where they finished.
Okay, so lots of ideas there if you're getting sorted out, organised, having a bit of a clear out, doing a spot of spring cleaning. Maybe you like to get a few more things labelled up with the pen friend or braille labeller. You've got the colour detector, of course, for identifying different colours, particularly useful with fabrics and things like that in your wardrobe. And then, of course, you've got those bumper stops and day glow tape for getting items a little bit more perceivable for those of us with little or no vision. So loads of ideas there from RNIB's Products for Life team. Louise, what's the best place and the best way to contact you guys and to find out more?
Yes, so you can browse a range of our products from our online store, which is shop.rnib.org.uk, or you can phone the helpline on 0303 123 9999. Or if you are living in Northern Ireland or Scotland, or if you're in London, you can book an appointment with our Products for Life stores. And again, you can make your appointment through the RNIB helpline or by visiting our shop website. There's a link there to book your appointment.
Louise Kenny from RNIB's Products for Life team, thank you so much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio. And that brings us to the end of another Tech Talk. Thank you so much for your company. We really appreciate it. If you have a question or comment or something you'd like to hear on Tech Talk, do get in contact. It's the usual email address, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a rating and share it and tell everybody about it. But from myself, Dave Williams, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavarkovich, and the rest of the Tech Talk team, bye for now.
Bye-bye.
See you next week.
Oh, and don't forget, it's the California State Conference on Technology and Disability. We'll be reporting on Tech Talk next time, so do tune in. Bye-bye.